people the wrong way. So preaching God's word in this situation, Jeremiah has a message of condemnation. He's going to tell these church leaders, don't do that, what you're doing. And he's very bold in his message, and he's very direct. He gives a rebuke. In preaching, Jeremiah was not seeking man's approval. He didn't come to them and say, what would you like for me to preach today? What would you like to hear? He didn't say that. Jeremiah, being God's prophet, king, he doesn't ask them and say, you don't want me to preach a message of condemnation, right? Oh, Jeremiah didn't ask the people, what would you like to hear? God said, this is what I want them to hear. Wow. Jeremiah is a loyal prophet or preacher of God. He's striving to keep the people on the right path with his message. This lesson, or in this lesson, God is setting the standard for those who would preach his word. When preachers preach God's word, it has to be presented as God presents it in the Bible. That's the task, one task I have. Or anybody has who stands and delivers a biblical message to the congregation. So this lesson, even the lesson today, this sermon, illustrates a very fundamental principle to those who preach and to those who follow God's word. Four times, I put this in your notes, there's four times in this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 23, four times Jeremiah uses the phrase, God is against. Four times. Number one, found in verses 1 and 2. And I'll read the complete verse for you. But God is against the pastors and the priests when they scatter the flock. God's against that church leader. Verses 1 and 2. All of these are in Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah says, Woe, W-O-E, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock, driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, says the Lord. You see what the pastors are saying and doing is against what God wanted them to do. God says, I'll get you for that. They were not okay with God preaching a somewhat kind of, perhaps a somewhat godly message. God says, that's not what I said for you to preach. The warning for this woe is directed at the shepherds, the leaders of God's people. In verse 11, the same chapter, it says, for both the prophet and the priest are profane. But Jeremiah didn't mix words. He kind of comes to them and tells them like it is. I'm going to go, Jeremiah, ease up a little bit. You're going to lose some members if you preach that. He said, for both the prophet and the priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, says the Lord. In verse 13, I've seen the foolishness in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal, false god, caused my people Israel to err. Verse 14, same chapter. I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They walk in lies. They strengthen the hands of the evildoers. None return from their wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Wow, Jeremiah, a pretty strong language. Yeah. Evidently, in this situation, God wanted Jeremiah not to be soft. be rather bold and direct. And remember, God said, I'll put my words in your mouth. And don't be afraid of their faces. You see, it's possible for God to be against church leaders, isn't it? When they don't preach God's word precisely, they leave the congregation in error. God doesn't want that. Jeremiah's message is a New Testament message too. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29, the Apostle Paul calls for the church leaders from Miletus to Ephesus. Just gather around church leaders in the area here. Y'all come. So he has a leadership meeting. Paul says in Acts 20, verse 29, he says, I know, after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw the disciples after them. Paul told church leaders the same message. Beware, watch out even for yourselves, because even among yourselves there might be some false teaching. Paul also said in Romans chapter 16, a serious message. In Romans 16, verse 17, Paul writes to the brethren in Rome. He says, I beseech you, brethren. Well, I kind of give them an urging. Kind of a listen up. Mark them that cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine that you learned. I thought maybe not all doctrines are okay. I thought anybody could preach anything they want as long as it seemingly had a godly message. Oh, no. It's contrary to the doctrine that you learned. He says, avoid them. For they that are such, those that do those things, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in service to God. Paul, by inspiration, says it. Oh, I think they're doing a good work. Paul says they're not doing a good work. Oh, but they're so kind, so loving, nothing. They're not serving God rightly. The inspired Paul says. Continues. They serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. For by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the unlearned. See, God's against the preachers that scatter the flock, that don't preach His word precisely. I still got three more things to do here. I'm going to have to hurry along. Number two, God's against the preachers or the prophets when they steal away His word. Somebody do that? Oh, yeah. Verse 30. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I put an incomplete reference in your notes. It just says verse 14, which should be Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 14. So if you have notes, or my notes in the bulletin, hope there's a pencil or something handy, right in chapter 14, verse 14. I need the number 14 twice there. My fingers didn't do it. But here's what the chapter says. Jeremiah is still preaching. Jeremiah 14, beginning. I'm going to pick up the story in verse 13. Jeremiah's message delivered to him by God. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, Ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. That's what some of the prophets were saying. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to me, The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I didn't send them, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Verse 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, and I sent them not, actually they this false prophet is preaching what he imagines. He's preaching what he feels to be right. He's preaching whatever seemed okay with him and the people. He's pretending his message is from God. God's against him. They're stealing God's word. So Jesus said this same thing. This is Jesus talking. Well, I get you the impression. Do you understand what the authority is behind this message? Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Really? That's right. There are some out here that will disagree with Jesus. A religious leader disagreeing with Jesus. And he'll tell you, go just attend the church of your choice. Just attend any Bible-believing church. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus said that. And then he goes on. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name?" They prophesied in the name of Jesus. At least they said it was in the name of Jesus. "And in thy name didn't we cast out devils?" "By the authority of Jesus, I command you, come out." Oh, really? "In thy name done many wonderful works." And then Jesus said, "I'll profess unto them." Jesus now, get the authority behind the message. Jesus said, I'll profess them, "I never knew you." Never? "I never knew you." But they're over here saying, "I'm on God's side, preaching a religious message." And Jesus' attitude toward them is this: "I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." That's not a soft message. Paul told Timothy, same thing that Jeremiah, that Jesus said to Paul, said by inspiration. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Spirit speaks expressly. "In latter times, some shall depart from the faith." How are they going to do that? How are they going to depart from the faith? What's right in the text? They're going to give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils who are speaking lies in hypocrisy. They have their conscience seared with a hot iron. They'll forbid some to marry. They'll command to abstain from meat, which God's created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. See, preachers can steal God's word. You ever hear someone say, "Attend the church of your choice"? Where is that? Show me that in the Bible. Well, that sounds good, though. Attend the church of your choice. Oh, I like that. I can just go anywhere I want to. I can worship God in any way I please. Oh, that sounds so comforting. Oh, that's a soothing message. Where is that in the Bible? All roads lead to heaven. Heard that one too. Must be in there because they quote it so sincerely. And I know they believe it. All roads lead to heaven. Repeat this prayer and you'll become a Christian. Got to be in there because a lot of religious people say that. Must be in the Bible. Baptism is optional. Where does it say that? Where? Show me. You're going to preach God's word. Preach God's word precisely. Show me where it is in the Bible. See, but they steal God's word. Okay, number three. You get the idea, I know. Number three. When God's prophets say, he says, in verse 31, "Behold, I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, which use their tongues and say, he says." So these false prophets were claiming inspiration when there wasn't any. "Well, God gave me this message. God laid it on my heart." Really? Claim inspiration when there isn't any? God's against that. But it sounds so good and it comes across so authoritative. "God told me to say this." Oh, really? I'm against the prophets, says the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he said. See, what we do, we place our trust in God's word for all that we believe and practice. Here's the message. Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word. The word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Wait a minute, Paul's delivering this message. You're going to challenge the Apostle Paul? Yes, you are. Should you challenge what I say? You better believe it. You better make sure that what I'm saying is in God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21 says, prove all things. Prove it. Hold fast to that which is good. Told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable, which is four things, for doctrine. The word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. Because people aren't always going to believe what's right, biblically. The word of God is profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, that's you and me, may be thoroughly complete unto every good work. Yeah. So when somebody says, God says, or he told me, spoke to me, show me. Then you're from Missouri. Show me. Show me. Be like Thomas when the disciples came after Jesus was there and they met them in John chapter 20 and they said, we've seen the Christ. Really? They go, oh yes. But Thomas said, but unless I put, you have evidence, Thomas said, that I don't have. I didn't put, I wasn't there. I didn't see the imprint in his side, in his hand. So they had another meeting. Thomas is there. Jesus is Thomas front center. So many words. Reach your hand and touch and see. And he said, oh, I don't need that. My Lord and my God. Yeah. Check the evidence. Check the evidence. The last one, number four. Verse 32, when prophets, God is against the prophets when they hold dreams for truth. Verse 32. Behold, I'm against the prophets that prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lives, or their lies, and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. Verse 28, same chapter, just previous to this. As he read it to us, that the prophet that has a dream, I'm telling it as a dream. He that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. There's nothing wrong in having a dream. However, these false dreams were passed, these false prophets were passing the dreams off as a vision or revelation from God. Ezekiel warned about that in Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 3. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the false prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Nobody, in this Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, lean not that I don't understand. Trust in the Lord. So here comes a false prophet. I've had a dream, really. We have the same warning. I'll put this at the end of your notes. Paul's reproof in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Kind of a summary of this whole lesson. Galatians 1, beginning of verse 6. Paul says, I marvel. He's writing these brethren here that he had preached to on his first missionary journey, established the church, and he left. Continued his journey. Gets a word back, says, oh, you guys didn't remain faithful and true. So now he's writing back. So in this letter to these brethren in Galatia, he says, I'm amazed, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. The next phrase is, which is not another gospel. You left what I taught you, Paul says, you left what I preached to you, what you received, and went to something else. That's not another gospel. No matter what. But there are some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So Paul says, but though we, or even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. In case they didn't get the message, he says it again. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preaches any other gospel unto you than that which you received, let him be accursed. So Paul, he's been there, establishes the church, the brethren, the Christians, leaves and writes back, says, you guys have left what was preached to you and what was delivered and what you accepted. That's not another gospel. Then Paul says, even if you received a different message from an angel, don't you believe it? Wow. But I received a heavenly message. Oh, in your dreams. But if even if you think you received a heavenly message, and that message differs from what this book says right now, that's a false message. That's a huge dream, and that's a deceiving dream. And then interesting too, Paul says, even if I come back and preach something different than what you received the first time, let me be accursed. Paul says, I can't even change the message that you received the first time. Though we, or an angel from heaven, preach unto you any other gospel than that which was preached unto you, and that which ye received, let him be accursed. When is God against the prophets, the preachers? When they don't hold fast God's word and preach what they think is best, what they think the audience wants to hear, something smooth. Paul, or the God told Jeremiah, you preach what I delivered unto you and don't be afraid of their faces. Don't you dare be afraid. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. That's why. It's God's power unto salvation. That's the message today. Always at the close of the lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. The message that if you're not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a Christian, you have that opportunity, an invitation to become a Christian. You've heard the good news that God sent His Son for our salvation, for our deliverance from sin, has eternal consequences. If you believe that, Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He. Jesus also said in Luke 13, verse 3, except you repent, you'll perish. So we have this formula, this plan. We put all those saving verses together. But you need to hear God's word and believe it and repent of your sin and confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as the Ethiopian did to Philip when the Ethiopian said, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? Ain't stopping me. Well, if you believe, you're made. So I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Stop the chariot. He was baptized. That's the plan. That's the formula, the steps. Hear the good news, the biblical message, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized, and now you are born again. You are a Christian. And from that point on, you begin to grow in grace, knowledge of Lord and Savior Jesus. That's the invitation. If you want to accept it, you can do so. Just let that